You know how the world plays football with a round object? They also race cars in funny shapes. Today, a U.S. media company buys big into Formula One racing. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. We're leading with a big business of sports and media story today. Liberty Media, controlled by U.S. cable TV and digital interactive tycoon John Malone, is buying Formula One Racing, the price tag $4.4 billion in cash and stock. Formula One will keep its headquarters in London, where we find racing enthusiast and BBC business reporter Theo Leggett. Morning, Theo.
Hi, David.
Formula One. It may not be familiar to all the people listening right now here in the U.S.
The best way I can put it, I guess, is that Formula One motor racing is like American motor racing, like NASCAR or IndyCar, except for a couple of things. One, it's a lot faster and a lot more high tech. And secondly, frankly, there isn't as much overtaking. They don't go around ovals, they tend to go around road tracks. So they are seen as the pinnacle of international motorsport and the height of that kind of technology.
But what you can help us with, Theo, is that this is very big business globally, Formula One.
Yes, it might surprise people in the United States because, as I say, Formula One has never really cracked the American market, but it is huge in the rest of the world. The people who hold the rights to this make money from TV rights, merchandising, hospitality, charging circuits themselves, huge fees simply for the right to put on a Formula One race. And that means that it generates revenues of about $2 billion a year. Half of that goes to the teams, and the rest, most of it, is profit for the rights holders. So it is a lucrative business.
And the news today that this U.S. media corporation with roots in cable television is buying in a significant way.
Yeah, and many people think that that's a good thing for Formula One. Technology is being changed. The rules are being changed to try and sort that side of it out. But it's also kind of an old-fashioned sport in the way it broadcasts itself. It relies on conventional television contracts. It's never really cracked social media, digital media, and it's never really been able to make the most of the American market. So an American owner with large digital interests, maybe that's a good thing for the sport and can help it to sort out some of those problems. But there is another issue that the new owner will also have to sort out. Bernie Ecclestone is the chief executive of Formula One. He's 85 years old and there is no obvious successor. So when Liberty comes in, the first thing they'll really have to look at is who is the successor going to be? How are we going to run this sport?
BBC business reporter Theo Leggett in London, thank you.
Thank you, David.
$55 million employees around the country don't work at companies with a retirement plan. Now, you don't need someone else to set up your retirement plan for you, but it does help. The California governor this week could sign into law a state-sponsored retirement plan there. It only collects the money of the saver. The state doesn't kick in extra. With more, here is Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell.
What this plan is doing is it's reaching out to all those private sector workers, more than 6 million in California, that work for an employer that doesn't offer an employer-sponsored retirement savings plan. You're automatically, if you're an employee and you're at a firm of 5 employees or more, you're automatically signed up through payroll deduction. You can opt out of it if you want, but most people, they're going to stick with it. There's no employer match, which keeps the cost down to the employer, but it's a state mandate. So hopefully more and more people are going to be saving for their retirement.
But Chris, there are two parts of this. First of all, whether or not you work for a company that offers a plan, but also in this case, you're in unless you say you don't want to be in. And that is a key difference.
It is a very key difference. And this is the term mandate has become incredibly controversial. And this is the reason why Washington, D.C. has done nothing about retirement savings over the past couple of years because of, well, the Affordable Care Act, and that had a mandate in there. This is a toxic term. But more and more states, David, they're looking at the aging of their population, and they're saying, look, half of private sector workers don't have access to an employer-sponsored savings plan. You also have public sector employees who are, you know, being quite practical, saying, hey, we don't want our private sector peers to be out with retirement savings, and then they're going to get mad at us because we do have retirement savings, and the governments are worried about their fiscal purse. So what we're starting to see, because of all this inaction in Washington, D.C., a number of states, California, Illinois, Connecticut, Maryland, Oregon, they have passed these state-mandated retirement savings plan, reaching out to low-income people and basically really reaching out to people who work for small businesses.
Now, you mentioned this notion of mandate being anathema to some, but is there opposition from industry on these auto pay plans?
There is opposition. It's coming from the financial services industry because I think these plans are going to put pressure on the fees that the financial service industry can charge its customers. And it's also going to put pressure on them to actually reach out and sign up some more customers. So it's moving out slowly, but I think the Justice Brandeis, the laboratories of democracy, we're starting to see them work.
All right. Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
And Nintendo shares rose 13% in Tokyo today after Apple, during the launch of the iPhone 7 yesterday, said a new version of the Super Mario game would debut on the new phone. Remember how the Japanese prime minister showed up at the closing ceremony for the Olympics weirdly dressed as Mario? That should have been a hint that you could have traded on. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.